This morning I'm gonna drop an anchor in Luke chapter 2, and just kind of lean in with me. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. I know the Christmas story because many of us have heard it so many times, can become a little bit familiar. But I think if you don't allow yourself to get prepared for the message that's coming by leaning into the text, you can sometimes miss what God really wants to say to you. So give it your attention this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. In other words, they're conducting a census. And so all went to be registered, verse 3, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of King David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She is about to give birth to Jesus. She brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now I'm going to skip the next several verses. I'm going to drop down to verse number 15. And so it was when angels had gone away from them into heaven. And so here's what's happening. Angels have appeared to shepherds out in a field. And when these angels disappear, the shepherds say to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So this is the story of Joseph and Mary. They are traveling to be a part of a census, which is required of them as a part of the Roman government that was lording over Israel at this time. And as they are traveling, Mary and Joseph reach Bethlehem. There's not any room for them in the inn. They wind up in a stable-like scenario. She gives birth to Jesus. While this is happening, God is using an angel to speak to shepherds in a field that they should reposition themselves to have a ringside seat for this occurrence. At the same time, we know from Matthew chapter 2 that God is using a star in the sky to speak to three wise men, three kings from the far east, that they would begin to travel to have a ringside seat for this. And it's intriguing to know that shepherds and wise men are repositioning themselves at the instruction of heaven and the galaxies to see what God is doing through the life of Joseph and Mary. While verse 7 of Luke 2 says this, "She brought forth her son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Just look over at somebody and tell them, make room. Make room. Make room. Pray with me. Father, I ask you for an unction from heaven to speak and to declare your word. I pray, Father, that you would give me a special grace for this moment, that, Lord, you would show me how to effectively yield your sword with skillfulness, that you would reveal to me where to pierce and to where to heal, and that, God, you would activate your people, that each of us would take our next step in you. Lord, let it be done in the name of Jesus. And this church said, amen. I'd like to just throw out some random statistics. And what I'm thinking is that as I throw out these random statistics, there's a high probability that at least one or more of these statistics will in some way apply to you or to your family. Y'all ready? 52% of all marriages end in divorce. 40% of all Americans are obese. I learned last night, I am included in that number. I was reviewing an app for how I could lose my Thanksgiving weight and the weight that I know I am about to gain by eating Christmas candy. I am ready for some peanut butter fudge and some white chocolate dip pretzels. Yes. I love my mother. She is seated undoubtedly right now in the Russell Springs congregation. She's not much of a cook, but she can bake. And my entire family, I'm sorry, Mama, I love you. Just keep the Christmas candy coming. She makes these little pecan tart things that are like this little miniature pecan pie. I'm about to have a spell right now. 40% of all Americans are obese, and you can include me in that number. 15% of Kentucky's population is considered to be of an ethnic minority. One in every three people will develop cancer. Over 25% of all people have an STD, and of that number, 75% are undiagnosed. Three out of every four instances of sexual abuse go unreported. Of an economic nature, the average combined household income of Kentucky families is around $45,000 per year or less. Over 40% of all Americans went shopping on Black Friday. God bless you. 15% of all people will drop out of high school. 70% of all people do not finish their college degrees. On a lighter note, the average person watches around 5 hours of TV per day, and the average person surfs the internet and social media 2.5 hours per day. Now, those are a lot of statistics. There are a lot of random statistics. And as I mentioned before I even went into them, undoubtedly at least one or two of those statistics apply to your life. And what happens is so often we can feel like little more than a statistic. We can feel like that we're just a part of somebody's database, that we're just a part of somebody's census, we're just a part of somebody's demographical analysis, that we're just a stereotype. And I wonder, do you ever feel like that you're just a statistic? In Luke chapter 2, when we are reviewing the scenario that is unfolding with Joseph and Mary, at this point in the storyline, they are nothing more than a statistic in the eyes of the people around them. They are under a government mandate to position themselves in a place where that they can register and be a part of a census. The Roman government is about to make them a part of their database. The Roman government is about to process them through protocol as nothing more than a statistic. However, even though the people around them and even the society that they live in is acknowledging them as nothing more than a statistic, it did not prevent the sovereignty of God from being at work behind the scenes. You see, even though that they were blending in the moment, there was something in them that was about to come forth that only God would get to take the credit for. And I think that maybe when you feel like that you're a statistic, and when you feel like that you're just blending in, and when you feel like that maybe you're almost invisible to everybody else around you, it can be very easy to forget that God may actually be up to something in your life, whether anyone else chooses to recognize it or not. You see, the thing about Mary and Joseph is that even though God is planning to do something extremely significant in them and through them, the people that were closest to them wouldn't even make room for them. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger," somebody help me, "because there was no room for them in the inn." Now, in this day, there would not have been the hotel infrastructure that we have. In this day, as people are traveling to their hometowns, these small areas that are not overly civilized at this point would have struggled to house all of these people. And so typically what would happen in the day and hour that we're reading about is that if you were traveling, you would try to find family. And so since Joseph is from Bethlehem, undoubtedly he had family that lived in Bethlehem, even though he had relocated to Nazareth. And so now he's in Bethlehem, and he probably was hoping that his family would make room for him. But even as he arrives to spend time with his family, they do not make room for him and what God is doing in his life and in the life of his family. They don't even acknowledge the fact that Mary is pregnant with the purpose of God. At this point, there seems to be a lack of recognition of what God is really up to through Joseph and Mary. It seems like that what God is doing in them is invisible to the people that are the closest to them. Have you ever sat in a room full of people? Have you ever been at the tables of your own family reunion and felt invisible? Even though you had had private moments with God, even though you knew that there were things that God wanted to do in you, and that there are things that God wanted to do through you, that even if you tried to share it with other people, or maybe even others talked about what it was God had been up to, it just seemed like the people whose opinion mattered the most to you wouldn't make room for it. That you felt invisible. It's thinking about this scenario and each of us having had our own experiences with what it feels like to not have somebody make room, or to know what it feels like to just be invisible to the people that are around us, or to just have others not acknowledge that God might want to use us, or that God might be doing something in us, that I think teaches us some things if we'll pay attention. I think it teaches us that we might ought to be cautious about who we close the door on. I can't get no help on a Sunday morning. It's been a while since I preached, but it's coming back to me. We might ought to be careful about who we close the door on. Because what's happening is Joseph and Mary are showing up. And if anyone should have room made for them, it would be Joseph and Mary. If God was going to bring a move of His presence to the earth, He has selected Joseph and Mary to be a primary part of that. And yet the people who could have joined themselves to it, the people who could have associated themselves with it, the people who could have been a part of further propelling it, said, I'm just comfortable up as a part of the in crowd. And by trying to stay in the in crowd, they actually distance themselves from the very thing that God was doing in the earth. Look over at somebody and tell them, make room. I'll tell you something else it teaches me, and I think it will teach you, is because we know how this story ends, it brings to light the fact that sometimes the things of greatest significance blend in for a season. It also teaches us that God is always ultimately in control. I want you to look at this. Joseph and Mary are assigned by their government to take a trip. They are assigned to fulfill this part of a process which they are obligated to do. And they're just doing what they're told. And no one even wants to recognize that God is up to something big in their life. They're just a statistic. But as they are going from Nazareth to Bethlehem, they are checking off prophecies that are thousands of years old. And while it looks like that in one way, no one is acknowledging anything of significance, God is like a master of the puppet strings that is moving this to the left and moving this to the right, and said, we're going to check that box prophetically, and we're going to check this box prophetically, and we're going to get you to the right place at the right time with the right people and the right plan. It shows me that not everything has to be a rebellion. That sometimes you just do what you're told. And that as you're doing it, even in that, there is a part of trust that my God has got this. And that nothing is going to catch Him by surprise. And that when it's all said and done, He will have His say because He is ultimately in control. It teaches us that when God is up to something in our life, that even if the people you want won't notice you, the people you need are looking for you. See, in this story, they're with, most likely, their family, and they won't even acknowledge what's happening. But simultaneously, God is moving galaxies and angelic beings to find the people that they need in their life and inform them, I'm doing something over in a stable on the backside of Bethlehem, and you need to go position yourself to be a part of it. It's an angel that shows up to shepherds and says, you're hanging out in the field, you need to be in the stable. And then as the angel is speaking, it says the heavenly host show up and begin to glorify God in this moment. It has such an effect on the shepherds that they take off full speed saying, God is doing something and I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to be a part of it. And while people that were standing literally within the proximity of a move of God wouldn't acknowledge it, shepherds were burning down the fields to try to get a ringside seat for it. Sometimes it's good to know that while some people act like they have to tolerate you, there's some people looking for you that are going to celebrate you. See, over on the other side in the Far East, there are some wise men. And God has put a star in the sky, and he has revealed to them through this star that he is doing something in Bethlehem. And these wise men begin to search out for what God is doing in the earth. Have you ever thought about the fact there might be somebody looking for you? Have you ever thought about the fact that even though you go to work, punch the time clock, and they act like they have to tolerate you, that the career that God really has for you is looking for you? Have you ever thought about the fact that even though you find yourself at times surrounded by people that give you side eye and look at you like you don't measure up, and when they do choose to not acknowledge you, it just puts you back in the invisible state of things. Have you ever thought about the fact that God might be up to something behind the scenes? That's why when you're single, you got to be careful settling for the thing you want, because it might not be what you need. And if he's more interested in hunting and fishing than spending time with you, he ain't the one. And if she would rather hang out with everybody else than hang out with you, she ain't the one. Don't align yourself with a situation where you have to live the rest of your days feeling like you got to be tolerated. Understand there's somebody that God has put on the horizon that is searching for somebody just like you to recognize the thing that God has put in you. It's getting really quiet on a Sunday morning. But the reason that a lot of us wind up feeling like a statistic is because we don't trust the hand of God. Now, I'm going to go back to my notes and get this thing back on track. I thought it was too, Pastor Kurt, but I couldn't get anywhere else help in this building. I'm going to have them pipe in Russell Springs and Campbellsville just so I can hear the amens, because I feel like I got one in Russell Springs right now. Campbellsville, can I get some help? Because Columbia is really making it hard on me this morning. Come on, just slap somebody a high five and tell them somebody's looking for you. Somebody's looking for you. If you got your honey beside you and you know he's the one, you know she's the one, you ought to say, I'm glad I found you, baby. I'm glad I found you. Isn't it something to contemplate that when you're in this place so often where it just feels like nobody's making room for you, that God is still sitting on the throne and he is orchestrating things that are searching you out for an appointed time? An appointed time. But what happens is that when it doesn't happen in the time frame that you and I want, because I think one of the best ways I've ever heard it put is that we are a microwave generation serving a crockpot God. And if anything frustrates us, it is the pace of God. And we don't always understand God's pace, because we want to be celebrated at the moment of conception. But there is a time period that must pass from conception to birth. And sometimes it's in those moments of infancy when you're feeling like a statistic, you get frustrated that you forget that you don't have to be popular in order to carry something significant. See, God will assemble the people around you that you need to know. And even if the in crowd won't have you, it's probably because God has some shepherds and some wise men that in due season are meant to be your tribe. So be careful trying to open a door that God has closed, because you might wind up with what you want instead of what you need. Can I please get an amen? Because God was speaking through angels and moving stars in the galaxy to get the right people alongside Joseph and Mary. And so, be careful that you don't abort the approval of heaven searching for the applause of man. Because we all have something in us that desires affirmation, something that desires approval, something that desires to be liked. And sometimes when you just feel like you're a statistic and you feel like you're blending in and you're not standing out, you can stop taking the steps that move everything forward. And I'd like to just give you four things really quick that I've found to be beneficial, and I think it'll bless you. And I learned it from the Christmas story. Number one, take the journey. Just keep taking the next steps. It's why here at Three Trees we have this thing called Begin. And as we come into 2020, we're going to do some really unique and exciting things with Begin. And we're taking it to a whole new level because I believe that God wants you to take your next step. He wants you to take your journey. The second thing I would say to you is that keep carrying what God has placed in you. I mean, Joseph and Mary, they're just taking the journey. They're just taking the next step. And no one around them seems to want to acknowledge what God's up to, but they just kept carrying what God had put in them. The third thing I would say is don't run away when there is no room. When you find yourself in a place and you don't feel like that they've made the proper room for you and it's stepping on your entitlement a little bit and you feel like that you're about to get offended and you feel like maybe you deserve more than what you've been shown or what you've been acknowledged with, then like two wrongs don't make a right. And so I would encourage you, don't run away when there is no room. Number four, trust God to make room. Because when the in crowd wouldn't make room, God was still taking care of business on the backside and was about to make room in such a way. You know, you may have to go to work and feel like a statistic. You may have to go to the hospital and feel like a statistic. You may have to go to school and feel like a statistic. But when God decided to bring out of Mary what he put in Mary, she was exactly where she needed to be, doing exactly what she needed to be doing. But when it was time, it was time. And there was nothing that any devil in hell or any person could do about it. Because when it's time, it's time. My wife and I, we have two kids. The first one we had in a hospital. The second one we almost had in a living room. Because when it's time, it's time. I just feel like somebody needs to hear that like up close and personal for a minute. Would you just look at them and tell them, when it's time, it's time. And if you'll just keep taking the journey and you'll just keep trusting God to take care of the things that are beyond you as you do the best that you know to do, watch that when it is time. And God will bring out of you what he placed in you. And you may not like the pace and you may not like the space, but when it's time, it's time. And it might have felt like you've been overlooked for 9 months and it might feel like you don't like the smell of the stable, but when you're in the space and the pace of God, when it's time, it's time. Because this thing that is in you, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus, and it better always be about Jesus. And Joseph and Mary are not packing their own destiny. They're packing the destiny of the kingdom of heaven made manifest in earth. She's not just packing something of her own. She's packing Jesus. And it is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And what we neglect to understand sometimes is that God has conceived inside of every one of us something that only His Holy Spirit can get the credit for. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God has put something in you. If you are saved, if you profess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that was accomplished through the work of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit goes to work in your life, He doesn't just do something for you, He does something in you because He intends to do something through you. And when He does it, according to Paul's words, it will be exceedingly and it will be abundantly above all you could ask or all you could think. And some of you think the only one that God can use must hold a microphone. Some of you think the only one that God can use is the one that's from the right side of the tracks and lives in the big house at the end of the cul-de-sac. Some of you think that the only one that God can use is the one that's got the right last name and comes from all the right networks. And what you forgot to understand is that God likes the league of the least likely. He likes to step into a place that's overlooked and pull out a statistic and do something that coincidence cannot take the credit for. He's doing something in you, even if no one else wants to make room for it. When it's time, it's time. I could tell you some stories. I bet you could tell me a few. That when it's time, it's time. I'm not trying to sound super spiritual. I got cold chills on me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Because sometimes you just preach yourself happy. They told me I got strep throat. I don't feel it at the moment. I feel pretty good. Because when it's time, it's time. Hey, Russell Springs and Campbellsville, I just want to thank you for waking Columbia up because they are finally here. They have come to church. Slap somebody a high five and tell them when it's time, it's time. Make room. And here's the thing. You see, we've spent the majority of this message talking about the need for you to recognize that there's something that God has put in you. And there's something that God wants to do through you. And we spent a lot of this message talking about just what it feels like when others don't make room, and what it feels like when we sense that we're invisible or that people just won't acknowledge that God's up to something in our life. But as they come to the music, I'd like to switch gears just a little bit. And as we've reflected on what it feels like to be overlooked, as we've reflected on what it feels like to not have people make room, to not have people affirm, and to not have people to acknowledge, doesn't it just kind of do something in your heart to where that you would want to say, I don't ever want to align myself with the in crowd, but I want to align myself with the wise men. And I want to be searching out not just what God's doing in me, but what He's doing in other people. And to help to celebrate that and to just remind somebody you're on heaven's radar. See, I remember being a kid, 12 years old, sitting in Sister Eva Ray's Sunday school class and knowing without a doubt one Sunday morning that God called me to someday pastor a church. That day he wanted to activate in me a call to someday publicly preach the gospel. And I remember in the formative years of middle school trying to at times share that with friends and being laughed at and being mocked and calling me a Jesus freak and stuff that I would wear like a badge of honor today. Back then, it just devastated me. And I remember how I got just really discouraged and started to doubt that God wanted to do anything in me, that He wanted to do anything through me. And I spent 6 years consciously running from God. And And I'll be straight up with you. I was even just reflecting on this morning, that one of the reasons that that happened is because I so wanted to be a part of the in crowd. To the point I would try to force my way in, just waiting for somebody's approval or acknowledgement. And when I couldn't find it, I remember in formative years of my life, just backing away. You ever been there? Because for some of you, it wasn't your teenage years, it was your 30s. Your 20s, your 50s. Some of you are convinced that it's too late. It's never too late for you to be who you might have been. When God gets involved, He's the restorer of the years. But I remember some people finding me, sitting in the back row, passing notes, being disruptive, and tap me on the shoulder and say, "You know you ain't like everybody else. Why are you trying to blend in?" I remember people finding me, looking me right square in the eyes and saying, "I know the hand of God's on your life. And someday you're going to quit running from Him. And you're going to let Him use you." And I look back to just a few of those pivotal conversations where, in one way, feeling like such an outcast, God sending people with divine intersections, kingdom connections, to remind me heaven had something. What if God wants to use you to not just be aware of what He's doing in you, but of what He wants to do through you? What if there's somebody that needs to become a star in your eyes that feels right now like they're nothing more than a statistic?